for the last several weeks. I haven't been here. This is actually the first time I've been back in like 4 weeks to be back here in the sanctuary. But there's been a lot going on, and it is great to be able to kind of get away and know that there's other people. Joe kind of led on the 9th. You were here on the 9th, and then we had confirmation, and then Brian was here last week. And so we have such a wonderful group of people that are willing to step up and share God's message with you. But we've been talking about how God invites all of us to be fishermen, to go out and engage the community, to draw them in to his presence, and how fishing is not just an activity, but it's a lifestyle. It's not just something that we do Sunday morning. It's how we choose to live our lives. And so we're recognizing that as we go out and we're talking about casting our nets, that it's a lifestyle of discipleship, of how we reach out to others and how we view the community in which we live. So this morning, as we take another step in finding the flow of what God is doing, we think about, if you ever wanted to go fishing, what is the first thing that you'd want to really consider? You'd probably want to think about going where there are fish. That's kind of a first requirement. Sometimes we don't even think about it, but when we think about it in terms of being Christian, and we say, being Christian is not just something that you put on your resume, it is a calling, it is a duty. You have signed up for to be involved in the transformation of the world. And so if we're going to invite people into this kingdom living that we're talking about, we need to go where there are people that are hungering and thirsting for what God has in store for us. We need to be part of the flow. We need to reflect that in our own lives. So this morning, we're going to take a look at a passage that we don't talk very much about. And this is the prophecy of Ezekiel, the prophet. We're going to look at that passage. And as we do so, we recognize that even Ezekiel's message is relevant for our lives. Would you join with me as we share what is on the screen? This is God's word for my life, in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. Now, I want to show you this image, and I want us to begin here as I kind of give you some background about Ezekiel's prophecy. What is going on at this time? The time, Jerusalem had been sacked by the Babylonians. People had been put in exile there in Babylon. The temple had been destroyed. And so people are living in despair. The world that they knew no longer exists. And they're living in a time of tremendous upheaval and change. And they're wondering, what happened to our culture? What happened to our faith? We put all of our trust in God. And they are living what I would consider a desert lifestyle. They're wondering, what happened to my life? Where is my life going? And as I thought about this prophecy this morning, I often wondered, what about us? We live in a land of just phenomenal change. Things are transforming at a rate that is unparalleled in history. And I think that most of the people that you live and you work with are living in a desert existence. Why am I here? What is it that God is calling me to do? What is the purpose of my life? These are the questions that people were asking in Babylon. And Ezekiel was the prophet. He was speaking to them about another time that God was going to restore. And so if you feel in your life, or you know somebody that you feel is struggling this morning, that is living in a time of just dryness, their spirit is just kind of dry, or maybe that's what's going on in your life. You say, I haven't felt that joy of the Lord that we talk about. I haven't felt that for a very long time. Then maybe Ezekiel's prophecy is for you as well. So listen to Ezekiel as he speaks to people that are living in desert lands. He writes the following. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out through the north gate and led me round the south to the outer gate, facing the east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the men went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through the water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, and it now became a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, which is the Jordan Valley, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the Dead Sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large amount of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh, so that where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Gellium. There will be places for spreading their nets. The fish will be of many kinds, the fish of the great sea, but the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we just pray this morning that we experience the refreshness, the coolness, and the flow of your living water. Father, we just pray that those that are living in dryness, those that have felt just separated from you, will feel the healing power that comes from your living spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ezekiel's prophecy spoke to these people in a very powerful way about the power of God that lives within all of us, that is available to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this morning we're talking about finding that flow, not just for people that are in despair, but for Christians that are continually growing, staying within the flow of what God is trying to do. The picture that is on the screen right now is of the beginning of that great flow of water. It is the runoff that comes from Mount Hermon. And in Mount Hermon is always covered in snow. It is the highest peak in that part of Palestine. And the runoff feeds the beginning of the Sea of Galilee and eventually the Jordan River. And so as we think about this flow, as we learn about what is happening, I want you to consider the journey that this water takes. When you think about it coming off, that cool freshness out of that mountain, it eventually flows into the Sea of Galilee. And there we hear many of the stories that Jesus tells about doing his miracles, about visiting different places, because the Sea of Galilee was a source of tremendous amount of fish. It was where people went to make their livelihoods. Towns sprung up all around the Sea of Galilee. But the Sea of Galilee is not the end point. It eventually flows into the Jordan River. And the Jordan River eventually traverses only about 90 miles in distance, but the journey that it takes weaving back and forth is actually about 200 miles, and it's weaving back and forth. So it is a river that flows. It is not a huge, mighty river like we might think of the Ohio even, or of the Mississippi. It is a fairly small by that standards, but it is a significant river in terms of the health and the vitality of that region. But the interesting thing, and this is what's so amazing about this contrast between these two lakes. We have the Sea of Galilee, which is in the north, which is filled with fish, and it gives livelihood to everybody. But have you ever been around the Great Salt Lake or the Dead Sea? If you'll put up the picture of the Dead Sea. Eventually, that living water deposits itself in the Dead Sea. If you've ever been around there, you know that its salt content is almost 9 times higher than the ocean. Its depth is much deeper than any other lake in that area. It's almost 1,300 feet deep. The Sea of Galilee is only about 150 feet deep. But what makes the Dead Sea so significant is nothing can live there. It is so salty that nothing can exist within it. So how is it possible then that this living water that comes out of the mountains that God has blessed us with, that is raging down out of the mountains to the Sea of Galilee, that gives life to all of these fish, eventually traverses through the Jordan River and dies? And I wondered as we began thinking about this message, about Ezekiel's prophecy, is that possible for us? That God is week in and week out blessing us with great music and great spiritual opportunities, and yet it floods into our lives, but it goes nowhere. And it eventually deposits all of that spirituality in a dead sea where nothing lives. And if you've ever been around places like this, you know that all of the nastiness that comes out of the Jordan, anything that it might have picked up, any pollutants that might have come, anything that it would have picked up along the way, eventually get concentrated in the Dead Sea. It reeks of sulfur. The only thing that live around there are gnats and mosquitoes. No wonder they called it the Dead Sea. It is at the lowest place in that whole region. It is almost 1,300 feet below sea level, and yet it has incredible depth. But nothing lives there. And Ezekiel takes this imagery and he talks about a time when God will bring forth wonderful water that will make everything fresh again. But I want us to think about our own lives. Is there a way that we can live a Dead Sea syndrome? A way we can create our spirituality in such a way that the freshness that God offers to us eventually becomes our own little Dead Sea. See, I think the first thing that we can do to take all of that freshness and life that God offers to us and destroy it is build a dam. Cut ourselves off from the life-giving energy that God wants to give us. Think about what would happen in your own spiritual life. Think what would happen to the Ohio River if we said we're going to dam it up so that only 1 hour a week we're going to let the water flow. The water's going to flow through that dam at an incredible rate, and it's going to be in that river, but nothing will exist there for the rest of the week because we've simply cut ourselves off from the flow. And I want to challenge you this morning. Is that what your spirituality is like? I catch the flow of God's grace once a week. And somehow I feel dry on the inside. I feel empty. I don't feel like I'm engaging or that God is using me the way he wants to. Maybe it's because we've cut ourselves off. I think we can also decide to divert the flow of what God is trying to do. God wants to bring life, but we can say, let's divert that to our own needs. Let's talk to people about what I want. Let's talk about what it is that we want to get out of this. And maybe we want to talk about how I'm not getting from worship what I want. Well, maybe it's because the river has a mind of its own. Maybe God has something greater in store for that water. And finally, I think we can defile it. You know, we live in an area where we've got a whole bunch of chemical plants on the river. And we know that from time to time, people make mistakes, and we have things that are called fish kills. That maybe there's a contaminant that gets into the river and it kills a tremendous amount of fish. The water's still flowing, but we have defiled it. We have made it unsuitable. And we can do that even in our own community as we try and reach out to others, as we try and help other people. If you have a little bit of bitterness, that you add just a little bit of bitterness to this family, if you add a little bit of complaining to the outside, and maybe you add a little bit of your own pride and your own expectations, you can contaminate the flow of the water. The water will be there, but it's unsuitable for anything healthy. And so I want to challenge you this morning. Are you cutting yourself off from that life-giving flow? Are you creating in your own life a Dead Sea reality? So that when people look at your faith and your involvement in the life of the church, they say, I don't see anything growing there. As a matter of fact, it reeks to me. All that there is deadness and dead fish laying all around when God wants to give us new growth and new life. The first thing that I want you to understand about the Spirit of God that is within you is that the Spirit was meant to flow, not to freeze. You were created by God to live within this river, to be part of the flow of what God is doing, not to just be stationary. When you become stationary, you become stagnant. And that life-giving energy disappears. So the first thing that I want us to look at this morning as we consider this journey that God has put us on is consider the flow that Ezekiel is talking about. Consider the source of the flow. If you want to get back to that life-giving energy, I want you to connect to the flow. Connect to the source. Connect to that cool, life-giving water that is pouring out of the mountains, that was always there available to you. You just have to connect to it. And what does the scripture tell us about where that comes from? What does Jesus say in John chapter 7? Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow within you. Do you feel today that you have that flow within you? That that energy is just waiting to get out? Whoever comes and believes in me, it says in Revelation, in one of the last statements, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water. A couple of weeks ago, Joe was talking about the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus says, I would give you living water. And she says, where can I have that? That's what I'm really hungering for. Jesus is the source of that living water. It comes out of the temple. But what's really interesting is if you look at Paul's letter to the Corinthians, first chapter, chapter 3, Paul says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is out of you that others will drink freely. So we need to get back to connecting to that source, that energy that God has in store for all of us, that refreshness that God wants for us. We also need to recognize that we need to create some new currents in our lives. You know, sometimes we just think that we should just stay stagnant. Did you know that the Great Barrier Reef that is outside Australia has such rich animals and life and plant life more than in any other part of the world, because it is on a great reef that is on a ridge that goes to very deep water, and the deep water comes up, and out of that depth comes the nutrients that the Great Barrier Reef needs to survive. See, we have such great depth to our souls, but sometimes we need to stir that depth. What is it that your life is really about? What is it that people will say about you when your life is over? What difference are you making in the lives of others? What unique gifts has God given you for which you're blessing others? We need to be thinking about stirring those deep waters. Jesus did this time and time again with his disciples. Who do you say that I am? He challenges us with questions. Who am I and who are you? See, I want you to get involved in some kind of a Bible study. Stir those deep waters. Stir those questions. Don't be afraid to ask, because in asking, you're creating currents of new life. You're keeping the water flowing, keeping it from just becoming stagnant. And finally, and perhaps this is most important, we need to create new streams. Why is the Dead Sea dead? Because it just takes in. It never gives out. It has no outlet. If you show up here week in and week out and just say, you know, Pastor Steve, just give it to me. Feed me. Bring it on. Wash me over. And yet you never give it out, you're becoming a Dead Sea for somebody. Create new currents of involvement. Create new opportunities to give new life to other people. What did Jesus say? Give and it will be given to you. Imagine going to a faucet. It's a terribly hot day. And you need to get refreshed. You want to connect up that garden hose and just refresh your family with that fresh living water. But you're not going to turn on that faucet until the water starts to flow. Until I know for sure that I'm going to get some water, I'm not going to put any energy into it. What happens? You'll die of thirst. Until you learn to give, it will not be given to you. You already have more than almost 95% of the world's population, and still we live in despair and emptiness. And I'm wondering if we're ready to start saying, let's create some new channels for our giving. Not just because we need to get rid of it, but because God is just waiting, that it's bottling up behind us, that God wants to give us more. We just have to create avenues, spiritual avenues, for the water to be released in order for us to be filled up again. Because if we don't do that, nothing will grow in our lives. It is a simple connection between life and giving. So when you think of the Dead Sea, is this what you think of? When you think of your own spiritual life, is this what you want to leave the world? Is this the image that you want? I want people to know that I never did anything. I want people to know that I took in for years. I went to church regularly. Never did anything with it, but I went regularly. This is the image that maybe many of our spiritual lives look like. But we can begin to turn that around. We can make it look like this. The Jordan River, giving life. What does Ezekiel say? What is that powerful verse? Wherever the river flows, everything will live. Wherever you go, wherever you give out, wherever your generosity and your grace goes, everything will live. Even if it is like the Dead Sea now, it will be transformed. Nothing is impossible. But we have to allow it to flow. And so these are the things that I want us to do to connect with that flow. Number one, stay with regular worship. Connect with the abundant flow. Maybe next week you say, you know what, it's a beautiful day. I'm not even going to bother with it. It dries up, doesn't it? Because you haven't connected with the flow. Stay with regular worship. Not just because we want you to be here to lift our worship, but because you need it. You need to stay within the flow. Number two, create currents. Ask questions. Get involved. Challenge yourself. When was the last time you challenged yourself? To do something different. To ask some questions. To explore our world and this wonderful world of spirituality. When was the last time you dug deeper? You pulled up that depth of water and said, down there are some deep nutrients that have been lying dormant for so long. And finally, create some outflow. Create some ways for you to get involved in ministry. To say, all of these blessings that I have, they're not just for me, they're for others, and I'm going to use them to bless others. When you do that, you will find that God not only blesses you even more, but it brings life to you. You stop becoming stagnant and you become living. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says to the church, us, he says, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. The grace of giving. We have been heaped grace upon grace in our church and our community. It's time that we begin the practice of sharing. And so I leave this challenge with you this morning. The Ezekiel prophecy. If you feel like you're living a Dead Sea kind of existence and you want to turn that around, Ezekiel's prophecy is for you. He says, God can do that. God promised that the temple, the Christ, will give you that new flow, but you have to allow it to be released in your life. You can't just sit there and soak it up week in and week out. We have to find ways to exercise it, to give it back out. Where the river flows, everything will live. That is the Ezekiel prophecy. That's the message that we share with the world. We don't have to live an existence where people just take from us all the time. We can be filled up to full and overflowing. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know where you are today, and I don't know what's going on in your life, but that's good news. That's what the Bible talks about. That is the good news. Everything will live again. It can, if you're willing to take the risk. Open up the dam, get connected, and let it flow. Let us pray. Father God, we are just united together here as a church family because we want to stay within the flow. We want to feel the life, the joy, and the hope that comes from knowing Christ and knowing each other, serving together, working joyfully for a common cause, and building up the kingdom. Father, you have given us so much, and we just pray that as we work together, our ministry would just blossom and continue to bless others. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.